happy.
Oh, so you're happy.
Right, right, yeah. I know why you're happy. Kids, danger.
We don't have to do any
I do, yes. Absolutely. Oh, no, I don't have any for you to adopt, no.
This is all for today?
Nothing for you to do today, okay. All right, I'm going to start with the, we have the Board of Elections that have come. Thank you, Ashley and Tom. And also, Alan Olson, Deputy Superintendent of Kingston Schools, came, and we're going to get a quick update. You know, many of us had some concerns with what was going on between the Board of Elections and the school districts, but apparently since then there's been some significant headway that seemed to have taken place. So maybe you guys can fill us in on it.
Would you like to say, well, I just got a quick question. It looks much longer than the last time I was.
Yeah, why don't you guys come down here?
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow.
Yeah, I feel like we're really far away.
I can move to the chair. I'll just move down this way so you can all put together.
Yeah, because I mean, I dumped up a little shorter back.
I left in your bathroom so you don't mind.
I'm not on this committee.
Alrighty, so.
Alright.
Could we get an update on where we're at from both sides? I'd like to know basically what took place. And
sure.
The committee was rough this up, so go ahead.
Okay. So I would like to think we're not sides. And I think we bridged some of the side gap a little bit. So initially we were, you know, I think the election folks had some concerns about timing of various races and races that were upcoming. And we obviously were interested in our own race, and we have been, we think, generous and forthcoming about offering our schools to the election people, and of course we were interested in that sometimes elusive quid pro quo, but you know, ultimately we were able to the elected people, I guess, yeah, they can speak for themselves, but they were able to sort out their how their races were going to what the timing was going to be in, and that they could assist us. So we're pleased with that outcome, and we hope that that outcome can be one that is not short-term in nature.
Board of Election members, any add-on?
Sure. So we informed the school districts in the fall that we had some concerns about running their elections because we anticipated the changes to the political calendar, which have since come to fruition on the state level. What we were doing for the schools last year and years since they sunsetted their use of the lever systems was a full-scale programming and testing voting systems, making their poll books for them, training inspectors that they had always used, they still wanted to continue to use in their elections. It was intensive. It was essentially running a full-scale county election in addition to the ones that we're already obligated to do. We have since met with a lot of the schools, Kingston being the first one, and we're going to continue to now program and test the voting systems, but the school districts will be responsible for getting their poll books, making sure that their inspectors are in place. We have asked for cooperation.
Now, who does that now?
We had been doing that and billing them back, so everything was cataloged on a spreadsheet and then billed back to them because we were paying for everything up front and then they were reimbursing us. It was a lot of work for the clerks. It was a lot of work for Tom and myself because we would do estimates for their budgets. I would do their billing to get reimbursement back. A lot of our supplies would go missing. We wouldn't get them for a bit. So now the supplies will be the onus of the school districts. So really right now we're just taking the voting system aspect because that is the most costly part of it. It's also the most for the schools to figure out how to program and test their voting systems, it would be a lot of work for them. So we will continue to do that. We're looking for cooperation from the schools for use of their buildings as poll sites. Kingston has been the best one to work with in that regard, but some have not been. So that is part of what our meetings have been. We have meetings.
What do you mean by not been? What has been the problem?
Well, for example, in the town of New Paltz, we had been using the middle school and the high school as poll sites. They got some grant funding for construction projects, parking lots, upkeep of their buildings, and so they said, we cannot facilitate your elections this year. That was a few years ago. So we had to frantically search for poll sites. They're not handicap accessible. They just barely meet the minimum requirements for that, but we've gotten a lot of complaints from voters who think that it's not accessible, it's not a good site to vote in. So the schools are ideal for what we do. People know where they are. They are handicap accessible. It's a place in the community where the taxpayers know where it is. It's well lit. There's room in these gyms for voters to wait in line if there's a line at the high peak times. It's difficult in smaller spaces to have that kind of openness for the voters.
So what places are you now have an agreement like what you have, like with Kingston?
Sure. So Kingston is on its way to having a full agreement. They went today. Tom went today to survey the sites that they've decided to use for their voting. We're meeting with Onteora and Saugerties Friday. On Tuesday, we have Ellenville, Roundell, and New Paltz to speak with, and we're offering them similar agreements. We think that this is a good compromise.
So the two, main things, that will be different, that will be the responsibility of the school board, what you said, or the poll books, and then directly then the inspectors. But you guys, and I'm just trying to remember the correspondence that we received as a legislature, mm-hmm. for that kind of back and forth correspondence. The inspectors, though, you guys will still be providing a list of qualified inspectors.
Correct.
So they just have to, they'll just be responsible for directly hiring them and paying, reimbursing them, correct?
Yes.
But they'll get the list of inspectors.
Yes, they will.
And then for the poll books, they'll get the data still from you, but when you say it's their responsibility, that's essentially just getting the poll book printed. But the data will come from you guys. So I'm assuming that the way you transport the data.
Make a PDF file.
And then the actual poll. So it's really essentially it's just the printing of the poll book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's more than just the print. So if you back up to the Help America Vote Act, and we had to buy these new voting systems, correct? The schools lobbied year after year with the powers to be in Albany to keep the levy machines grandfathered in. And sooner or later, that was going to go by the wayside. So during that time frame, we volunteered to work with the schools. And we knew at some point the two primary dates were going to be combined, either in September or in June. But we weren't going to have September and June primaries at some point. With the levy machines, the schools handled all the administrative ends of things. So they hired their inspectors, they paid their inspectors, they set up their tables, they created their own poll books, blah, 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 blah. And then we let them use the lever machines, okay, that were under our jurisdiction. And we sent out, at that time there weren't machine techs, but there were coordinators who set up the lever machines, okay? So it finally happened that the hammer was dropped and the schools couldn't use the lever machines anymore. So once that hammer came down and we got involved, that's when we volunteered our help. And for the last 5 years, it's worked well. But going into last year, knowing what was on the horizon, they combined the primary in June. So now our whole calendar changes, and what we can do for them is limited. So basically, our agreement with the schools is to give them back the administrative end. So we can provide them people, which we've done in the past, to use as inspectors that have worked for us before. They will still use their own people who they have within the system that work for them. What we will sort of mandate to them is we will have the voting systems, and then we will provide the two key masters, the two special inspectors for the voting systems. Because with that whole technology end, we'll do the testing, we'll do the programming for each of the different schools for their ballots, and we'll provide them with the delivery, the setup, retrieval of their poll sites, and we'll bill them just for that segment now. So we're eliminating all that administrative responsibility because it's just with our political calendar, it's just not possible.
But you're going to, you will print the ballots. You print the ballots?
Yeah, the ballots are printed by our our vendor.
Well, yeah, I mean okay. by your yeah. vendor, but then they will pay you back. Okay?
They will pay the vendors directly. The only thing that we'll be billing them for is programming, testing, delivery, retrieval, of the everything involved with the voting system. They're going to handle the ballots. They're going to handle paying the inspectors, even the two key masters we assigned to their poll sites.
So right now, the Kingston School District is good with this.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, we're good. If I could, I'll just comment on a couple of things. One, you know, the Board of Elections may not have been able to tell us until October, you know, what was on the horizon. But by October, our budget vote is in May, so, you know, not knowing till October that we might have to buy some machines, which are fairly costly. You gentlemen and ladies may know how much they are. Mm-hmm. You know, that put us in an awkward spot. We didn't have any budget set aside for buying voting machines. We were using 7 poll sites, so a lot of machines involved. So that was, you know, that's part of the reason that we, of course, approached the Board of Elections and said, you know, can you, you know, stretch and figure out a way to help us? And ultimately, they did. The one aspect of this that looks like it may be costly, according to our clerk, is this whole poll book thing. Because I think probably when you guys have, you know, had an arrangement with the poll book company, I don't know what else to call them, but, you know, they had an arrangement with them and they did various things and had the data. And that we're finding that having our own arrangement with that company is going to be expensive. So, you know, we're trying to figure that out still. But, you know, we will be able to have elections, which is great. And
well, because, you know, we
timely ones.
Right. You know, the governor's initiative has been shared services. So, you know, to me, we need to create whatever we can to share these services. Anyway, Rodriguez and then Frank.
Yeah, mine's essentially really simple. I mean, at this point, have all of the school districts sort of worked out from a timing perspective, I think, sharing their space with our general election, or is that still something that has to be worked out?
It's still ongoing, the discussions on it.
Most of them have, but there's still some that we have to meet with yet.
New Paltz has.
I was going to say, New Paltz, I knew, had.
Kingston has.
So
those
you're going to be using New Paltz?
Are existing.
You're going to be using New Paltz schools again? Okay, that's good.
And then when we discuss it with the other districts, Onteora and Ellenville specifically, it might not be a factor this year, but if this is the agreement that we'll have, we want them to look at expanding our use in 2020 when we expect to have a lot higher turnout, too. Yeah. So we want to have better sites going into that cycle.
Yeah, because I know Kingston still uses as a superintendent's conference day.
They do.
Go ahead, Ron.
Thanks. You know, I guess one thing I'm still not clear on, and I think the thing that has been made clear to me by my superintendent down in Wallkill and the school board members is, are you allowing the use of the voting machines by the school districts? Because that was the biggest concern that they had, was the purchase of individual voting machines for every school district in the county.
Yeah. That's the agreement we're having with the schools.
That's
yeah.
the agreement.
That's the section we're handling, the voting machines. All right.
Machine.
Yeah, we recognize that. I believe the Wallkill wants to do it with Orange County Board of Elections.
I mean, most that's likely. Yeah. I think that they tired of the situation rather quickly and tried to go a different direction.
Okay.
And they've got school buildings in Orange and Ulster counties, so they, you know, path of least resistance, I think,
yeah,
was what they went
they're
with.
They're the unique one to us because they do split.
Marlboro's the same
two.
Way. They have school districts.
The Wallkill Central School District has one school building in Orange County and 1, 2, 3, 4 school buildings in Ulster County.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that. I know Orange County is taking up the slack this year for Walk Hill, but I am sure that Ulster County and Orange, or Walk Hill and Orange County, would prefer that Ulster took it over in 2020, if that's possible.
We're open to speaking with you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I would just like to add, because I did receive messages from the president of the Onteora School Board and the superintendent, that they're still quite concerned at Onteora, and I'm glad to hear there's a meeting on Friday. They're under the impression that there won't be voting there, and I know they had some concerns about, I guess you wanted to have more of the site free of other activities, and they need to have those activities. I'm not sure if that's still the issue with them.
We don't use any other schools for our election, so I'm not sure what they're referring to. Maybe it's the amount of sites that they use for their election, because they currently use 4 sites, and we've recommended that they consolidate to 2 because their turnout does not warrant having as many sites as they need.
I think that's what it is, because they were saying that you were asking for consolidation. So it seems like they still don't understand the rationale that you're offering on that.
That's why we're meeting on Friday.
Yeah.
Ebner?
Oh, no, that's the correspondence I got was that it was going from 4, I was just to 2.
From 4
was,
to 2.
Yeah, right. That's what I got.
All right, so you're going to keep us abreast of your meetings, and we would appreciate that.
You will all, I don't know if you remember, but there are polling service agreements that must be processed, all right, before we do anything with the schools. Mm-hmm. So those polling service agreements will be made, you know, through the county attorney to you all before we go forward with the agreements we have now with the schools, so you'll know exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, is all this staying within budget? Because I have to ask that question. It's sort of like
a budget
question.
With our budget?
Yes.
It doesn't impact our budget because we build them back.
We'll build them back for whatever
right.
we do.
Okay.
Right.
Net neutral. So it's net neutral in this case. Okay.
Correct.
Any other questions?
I mean, just assuming you said you had talked to your clerk, and just looking at the way the agreement you guys made in your consolidation, what's the cost look like for you guys? Is it less than your previous election since you're not having as many locations, or have you guys looked at the numbers in terms of what it means for your budget?
Well, it strikes me that the savings in fewer locations may be offset by the higher cost of the polling books and all that jazz.
Yeah, that's what I was just
so
curious.
So I can imagine that being a wash.
Okay.
I mean, we're also concerned, of course, that turnout may be lower, because instead of having 7 sites, we have 3, but that's not necessarily a financial cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank
now,
you.
What is the polling, the cost of the polling books? Why can't they piggyback on yours?
Our vendor, all right, our contractor, is written for Ulster County to receive poll books for 2 elections a year, our primary and our general election. Anything outside that, they charge for, okay? So we experimented, the board experimented with a local printer, and it worked to a degree for a while, but election printing is a very specialized printing.
Okay? What would happen if you added one and then billed them for the add-ons?
I don't know. The contract's in the middle of a 5-year contract, so I don't know what would happen. But NTS is our vendor, and they've made it clear, because they have their own deals with schools. Like New Paltz has always used NTS. We've never done their poll books. But, of course, with everything, there's an additional price. The only reason that their books were less is because we experimented with a local printer, and that's the big shock to the schools. But we're back to our normal, this is who prints our poll books. We were trying to find something, because they don't fall under our jurisdiction, schools, right? So they don't have the same requirements legally that we have. So we were trying to find them a less expensive way. It just didn't work. So.
We will also provide them that data set so they could go still to the local
they
printer.
They could if they want to,
They do not have to use NTS. We know that it's very expensive. if they use color pages, is what we use, because that's who the county has their contract with for outside printing, then it would probably be less expensive. They have that option. They don't have as many requirements as we do, because they're not as legislative in how they conduct their elections.
Right. I mean, I don't get too deep into the weeds, or, you know, when we start talking about the pricing of the book, but it may be something worthwhile for purchasing to maybe, you know, sort of basically both contact both BOE as well as the individual school districts, and maybe then try to go and see if there's a possibility of getting a unified price or something like that, where you could, you know, piggyback. So,
as Tom mentioned, we did discuss the color page option with them, but as Tom mentioned, the result was not as good as using that vendor. So, I mean, we may try to do that in the few months we have left before the vote.
Would you be able to print your own? I mean, it's a crazy question, but
I'm not sure. We've never done it, so.
Yeah, some of the school districts that are smaller than Kingston are doing their own printing. There is a way that they can print it and just make it themselves.
I guess you just have to print them out, right?
Yeah.
So, if you email all data to them, they can print it on.
That's available.
I know my daughter has to put her printing stuff in advance.
Yes.
In order to get it done.
I'm glad she does that.
So, I'm thinking maybe you guys got to do that. Go ahead.
And just for confirmation, there'll be no impact on absentee voting for these elections.
It's still the same process.
Yeah.
The schools handle it.
Okay.
We've never been involved in that.
They get the information from us,
okay,
and they handle it.
Any other questions or on this subject matter? Well, thank you, Alan. Yeah. Thank you, Alan, and I guess we don't need you any longer.
No.
We still need a board of the BOE for a little bit.
Great.
Thank you so
thank
much
you
for coming.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
Thanks again, Alan.
What voice today?
Oh, sorry.
Treat him nice. Thank you.
See you.
All right, we have a resolution 481 establishing a policy to prevent the use of public funds to place the likeness or name of elected officials on the wall of Ulster County Board of Election material. Now, this came out of the idea that a number of people picked up things that were on the Board of Elections and the county executive's
website.
Yeah, on your website and the county executive's Facebook on it.
Which have been removed. Some of those have been removed.
I think
some of the
been
pages
removed since
were,
then?
Were suddenly removed.
So, first of all, our required election material is not allowed to have any pictures. That's the statute under New York State law. The website, okay, we don't have control of the website. You, as a county, have control of the website. So what the executive decides to put out there, we can't control. We aren't even required to have a website. We're trying to make things easier on the voter, okay?
Yeah, the picture was a part of that outer area that we have no access to.
We said the same thing when we first noticed it, but...
So you had issues with it?
Without a doubt.
And it was. I mean, if you were to go and actually click on to download an absentee ballot, once the absentee ballot came up, but as you were surfing around, as you were about to click on it, right next to it was a big, beautiful picture with all these great things about this individual. Then you click on the absentee ballot and go to vote. I could
That's
see how that would affect any
website. You
it's
went
part of a template.
Yeah,
it's the first template to get to us. Right.
Yeah.
So it had
on
nothing to do with
panel.
Us.
No,
not
whatsoever.
No,
and I think we're all in agreement that it was probably something that was better off not there. Yeah. So I did notice that once I put that resolution in and got back on, a lot of them were down. I don't know if Mr. DeLeon went through very quickly and got rid of them. Some of the pages, if you click on all of them, it does still appear, so they missed a couple. I don't know if, I mean, we're hearing that the two...
Well, we think our website should be separate anyway. It shouldn't be involved with the county. It should be a county website for the BOE only.
I agree.
Right. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have a hard
That's
time
what we
finding
said in the
it.
Past, too.
But
have you guys put in
put a
budget
link.
Request for that
yeah.
in the past?
Not recently.
No. It's not, I mean, not
really
a budget request would be needed. It's system set up by IS. It's a matter of setting it up separately.
That's
all. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think, I mean, if you didn't need a budget request, even just the formal request would help. That strikes me as a really reasonable concept.
Yeah, I think you'll get it if you do the legwork on it.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if you didn't get it, whatever you needed.
We'll be happy to submit it.
It's in the book. It's somebody new there soon.
And then if that was to happen, there would be no ability for any county elected official to ever appear.
No, because once everything falls under our jurisdiction, the picture's not allowed.
Can you guys, I mean, can you prioritize that and
sure.
and get something to us? Because I just assume pull this and go that route. I think that's the best.
We're on board with that, for sure.
All right, so then you're agreeing to pull this resolution.
Yep.
All right, very good.
Cool. A successful resolution.
You're getting a little easier problem. In your old age.
Yeah, it makes sense.
This resolution is not problem.
He's mellowing.
It's very mellow of you to pull it, but it doesn't. What's the problem with
the vote, Ulster?
Well, but I mean, well, if they do,
they put in their request.
Real quick, I mean, just if they put in their request, and we go ahead and do that, we'd have a policy on that is completely pointless.
It's completely temporarily pointless. Well, I mean, it's just you never know if their website goes. It's just what's the problem?
Chairwoman, I would be happy to put it back up.
I mean, it's fun. I just don't see what it means. It seems like, what's the big deal with
you want to vote
on
it?
And then we could do away with
see,
it as soon as you get your own
necessary.
Site.
I think that we can accomplish it without setting up.
I take them at their word. We're
going to
get this in
already.
The next. I mean, it shouldn't take long.
It's the only issue on the table is the website, because we aren't required to have a website, so there's no jurisdiction that we have over the website. So, being the fact that it's a county website with our department, that's where we lost the battle on the picture.
So there was a battle.
There was a conversation.
I mean, I'll defer if the committee doesn't think it's important and wants to look
what
to doing it.
How quickly
fine.
Can you
but
have?
It,
I mean, how quickly could we have this done?
We'll
do you think?
We'll send. I
can request it.
We
tomorrow.
Can send it tomorrow to IS. We can copy whoever wants to be copied on it and look for.
I would support a letter from this committee to IS, copy the acting county executive, supporting such a measure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or
requesting such a measure.
Yeah.
To be carried out.
We,
I think
we can
do something on
we
that.
Can also word it to state that, under state election law,
You could actually put in there, rather than passing a resolution for 81, which requires that, we feel it's much easier to do in this matter, and blah, 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 and then we can send it off.
But you would still have the issue is you would probably still need, people might still look, you would have no link on the county website going to an outside.
There'd be a link, but that, what
the county website.
But when you get to the Board of Elections website, there's no pictures, no nothing.
Yeah. Yes. And
I do have to say, I think it's crazy that you're not required to have a website. I mean, this is 2019. The concept that any board of elections is not required to have a website in this day and age is crazy.
You have to remember the election law
has
been written
prohibition era
a long time ago.
Well, they just screwed up. I mean, updated
by
candidates recently.
Any updates to the election law usually only occur.
All right, so we can draw something up. Did everybody on the committee agree with that process?
Perfect.
On sending a letter?
Chair
will?
Yeah.
Whatever you want to
I
do.
Appreciate
your
a letter being sent, referencing, actually, we could reference the resolution that was brought up and feeling the idea that it's much cleaner if we just create a separate website for them with a link on the county's website to get to that. And once it's there, you
mm-hmm.
guys run that and... You'll run your own website.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All right. Motion by Ronk and seconded by Abner. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I mean none. There you go. All right. The next one other. I'll give you this in a moment.
No, I wrote it down.
You had a question, Legislator Maloney?
Well, it had come to a couple of, well, I talked to quite a few legislators, and everyone that spoke about it was a little uncomfortable with the at the very least the perception of the deputy commissioner being appointed to an elected office. I don't know if there's been any discussions over there. I don't know if you guys feel the same about it. I'm sure, I would assume that being your deputy, that you're comfortable with it. There's certainly, and it makes me uncomfortable. I don't know how you feel about it, Mr. Turco. Would you have a deputy? Would you feel comfortable with your deputy being in an elected position? But I just thought it was something to open up to the floor.
I would never go for that, neither would the state law, I believe.
The state law is says
the state
it's
law
okay.
says we appoint our deputy.
And we checked with the county attorney. He checked with the attorneys in Rosendale. It's not violating anything. If he ever was in an election event, he would have no access to the Rosendale ballots, the Rosendale processes.
Mr. Turco, you
is
agree?
Is he running for re-election?
He intends to, yeah.
Well, I mean, no matter how you look at it, there seems to be anybody from outside would feel that there's a perception of, there could be a perception of favoritism.
I agree with that. Unfortunately, the state law doesn't prevent that from happening. It's a deputy running for office. I mean, you know,
it's just
in Ashley's case, she ran for office one time and she had her basically abstain from anything going on in the office, processing any documents in the town of Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's registration forms, absentees, she couldn't be involved in the town of Hurley for that whole election.
What about
same
the
thing's going to happen?
Yeah, no, I'm fully
what
aware
what about the
of
community
that,
of Rosendale? How would you feel if you wanted to get involved? Would you feel like you're going to get, I mean...
Well, Ernest is going to have to step away from everything to do with Rosendale. If he decides to run, if come... well, caucus, Rosendale's a caucus, right?
The
Democrats there have one petition, right? So once the caucus is... any of the caucuses, or actually if he has another party line through petition, but as soon as there's an official nomination, Ernest can no longer participate in anything involving the town of Rosendale, which is a hassle at the office, but it's legal, so.
I mean, I tend to see where Joe's coming from, though, because, you know, in the event that, you know, he recuses himself from absentee ballot, you know, like an absentee ballot recanvass,
you know, so he recuses himself from that, but there needs to be two, you know, usually there's two from each party at the table, aren't there?
There are, but
so you're going to need, so,
yeah,
but you're going to have a backup who's then responsible in some way, shape, or form to him in your absence. He's, you know, in charge of them, you know, isn't there a concern that they might try to do something? I mean, in theory, I'm not saying anybody in particular, but, you know, in theory, without talking about personalities, you know, it could benefit the person who's the backup who serves underneath him to make a favorable ruling. I don't know.
Well, the impression's there regardless. I mean, if, you know, just thinking out loud on the subject, the impression could be it's Ashley's deputy. How could Ashley rule properly against her deputy? But that's why there's the balance in the office.
I understand.
You know, I think more concerned than the example of, you know, counting votes is the processing of documents.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot be involved in the processing of documents because then you have an issue. You got to make sure that there's a catch. Once again, there's a balance in the office. But that is not as proofing and checking procedure with the documentation, all right, is not nearly as intense as when you actually get to ballots, anything involved with ballots. So that's why he would have to be removed.
I understand.
Anything to do with
no,
it and between you and I don't know why, you know, this is just personal opinion now, the state just doesn't change the law so that anybody working for board of elections cannot run for public office. That would be the smart thing to do.
Well, I mean, I can, so it's legal by the state statute, but has there been any ethics board opinions from the county on this? I mean, we have our own.
I haven't seen any.
No, just legal opinions.
I mean, I personally don't. I mean, I have I personally have a problem with it. I just don't think it should be done that way.
Chairwoman Bartels and Majority Leader Hefner, what do you think about it? I feel it's important that we weigh in on a debate like this, especially when we're talking about something that's technically legal, but we're talking about our own opinion of ethics.
This is the first concern I've ever heard, so I'm just listening right now. I mean, both the Republican Commissioner and the Democratic Commissioner say it's legal. If people wanted to look at changing on the state level, I think the possibility makes sense. But I don't know what else do you want?
Well, I just because something's legal doesn't mean we can't put our name to an opinion, especially when it affects, you know, it's 180,000 to 200,000 people in this county, and thousands of people live in that area.
But my understanding, the way the Board of Elections process works, like Commissioner Pickle said, it's everything works in partnership with oversight from each side, so that just like we recuse ourselves when we get ethics, when they have the ability to question every action on either side. So currently I don't see that there's been a problem. Has there been a problem in the office?
There has been no issues and no complaints. And
like I said, this is the first...
No complaints from subordinates about their boss.
Yeah. No complaints from literally anyone.
And once again, you know, in my opinion, I agree with the fact that the board should be involved in elections. Nobody should run if they're serving on the board. But, you know, you have to fight the state law on that. You know, if push came to shove and you tried to implement something at our board, whoever's challenging it is going to go to that state election law and say, listen.
It specifically, it does it not speak to it, or specifically says
they can... Well, I think we could, by charter, I mean, we could amend our charter to
I don't know. You're challenging the so-called higher authority at the state level.
Well, the state sets the floor, we set the ceiling. We'd have to see how it's written.
I mean, we have things that are...
That would be your call.
So that would be the starting point, really, to look at what it actually says and to talk to counsel and see what it... I mean... I don't know what the law actually says.
Yeah, that issue becomes legal then and there.
Usually the way it works is that we can make our charter stricter than state law, but we cannot make it looser than state law.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so I mean, I believe that because we have things in ours. There's a question. Pointed out. There was a question of Ron Glass, yes, because he was an elected commissioner, fire commissioner.
No, Ron, that was his employment at the college.
No, but he was elected as a something, a police.
Ronnie?
Yeah, I think it was a fire commissioner or...
I think it was fire commissioner.
Yeah. There was a question on that, but he wasn't paid, so some of the argument was that since he was not a paid position, you could not use that, but on the state level, it would not have come up. But we have in ours, you cannot serve as a county legislator if you serve as an elected official on any other board. But the argument was that since they weren't being paid, it creates a different mindset, shall we say.
That was the advisor.
Election to a fire board, so I mean, can you say, oh, I can't serve on the legislature? That would be kind of silly.
That's the volunteer with the employee, right?
Yeah, because there's really no place for conflict. I mean, where's the conflict, really? All right. I didn't mean to... I'm sorry if you got blindsided by this. I really didn't mean to do that. But it came up. He called me today about it, and then some other people called me yesterday, and I... meant to talk to somebody about it, but I never got around to it because I got like 15 phone calls. Alrighty, not on that. Sorry, a bunch of other issues. Alright, so I guess that's it, unless anybody has any other comments on it.
Well, I think it's safe to say quite a few legislators are uncomfortable with it. We do appoint the commissioners. I mean, I think the way this would work was just that the Board of Elections decided that the right thing to do was probably stay out of elections that way, personally. But if that's not going to happen, then there's not much we can do unless we look into a charter change or something. And I'm guessing we'd have 12 legislators that were probably willing to look into that if it turns out to be legal, and I'd hate for it to get to that point because it just seems like the right thing to do for the community would be.
Well, that would be the next thing is yeah. to create a change to not allow it. That would have to be done by charge. So, already, any other questions? Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Good to see you all.
And thank you for your work with the school boards, and I know it can be trying.
Would that have to go to referendum?
That would, yes.
See, it doesn't affect the executive spell.
No, would you want one of the school?
The board of elections.
They're all website.
Everybody's no, always suspect.
The other one.
This is yours, right?
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
But let's go to court, you know, and when there's an agreement, it does that. I mean,
all right. Oh, you know, look, you know how it is to be involved in primaries and stuff.
I know.
Oh, my God. That's
I've been through that six times.
All righty, I'm sorry I didn't jump on to the next issue. It's Resolution 120, amending the rules of order to modify the resolution deadline.
I'll move it.
The resolution deadline, they're moving the resolution deadline from 5 days in advance of the regular meeting to 12.
Are we planning on moving this in this meeting?
I was hoping we were, but apparently we're not. Oh, wait, are we?
Yep. You can't.
Oh.
It's not. This is introduced this month, so you'll consider this that your regular
meeting.
Next month. This is just for discussion under rules.
No, the regular meeting
changes.
The day before session.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I came into this meeting assuming all this was for discussion.
Well, okay, our normal thing is to go and move a resolution, so in order to discuss it, but apparently we're just doing discussion.
All right, on the discussion, quickly, is there any discussion on this issue? Go ahead.
I mean, it was my understanding that there was a compromise offered of, moving the date that resolutions were delivered to the legislature to Monday, and then offering a meeting with committee chairs and deputy chairs on the Friday after, so giving 4 days to look at them, and then having a meeting with all the chairs and deputy chairs to, answer questions and discuss them.
And the compromise came from where?
The county executive's office.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak. Lynn is the one who did all the legwork on this and who spoke with the executive's office. So that's, but that compromise, that's pretty well articulated. That's basically what was suggested from the executive's office, that we just move the resolution, that the date would move back 2 days, so Monday. And I don't think there was a specific date discussed in terms of the committee chair and deputy chair meetings with it wasn't exactly department heads, it was with deputy executives and department heads when required, but in the back and forth discussion that Lynn had, and in thinking it through, it's still we really need more time. I mean, we right now the way it sits, and we all know this, I mean, we're all serving, we get our resolutions. Deadline's Wednesday. It takes the clerk's office 2 full days and a tremendous amount of work that the clerk and the staff can attest to get the packages together, to get all the resolutions in line and order and the backup and then put into packages and out to committees. Meanwhile, we have 2 committees that meet on Monday. So if you're getting your package for a Monday meeting on a Friday and you have any kind of commitment, you have no working day to look it over, you have no time, and I can't tell you, as one legislator, I can't tell you the amount of times that when I've called a deputy executive with questions, the response is always, why are you calling me so late? And of late, my response is, well, I just, I got the package on Friday. Today is Monday. The committee meeting is right now. It's in, you know, it's 4 hours, and I have questions.
If
you imagine pushing it back, mm-hmm. this obviously is going to require two readings, but if you imagine pushing it back that full week, we'd have our packages on Wednesday of the prior week. We ideally would be able to sit down with deputy executives and or department heads and have actual, you know, working meetings, air out the questions so that committees aren't this last-minute barrage of questions. There aren't all these one-off questions, and it's a full working week before the committee meetings start. I know that Vicki did a lot of work looking into how other counties do it. I mean, and a lot of the counties have this amount of time. This isn't really unreasonable. I realize it's a change, and it'll take some getting used to, and maybe we'll have some more lates, but I think this is what we should be working toward. And I also don't understand why the concept of having a working meeting is a compromise concept rather than an add-on concept.
Yeah, I don't either, but I do see you could possibly change the meetings also, instead of Monday having a meeting early.
But can I just tell you that it's academic, because if you look at the date, you're talking about, if you move the committee meeting to Wednesday, it doesn't say Monday, you still would be talking about 12 days prior. You're still talking about the number of days wouldn't matter, because I originally thought the same thing. I thought, all right, well, let's just move everything. Let's move the committee meetings, push the committee meetings back a week, push the legislative meeting, push the... Everything.
We know the legislative meeting, but I mean, if you.
But it doesn't matter, because the resolution deadline deals with the number. You move everything.
No, but you could move. But you could leave. But like Dave's saying, you could leave resolution deadline at the Wednesday it's currently at, and move committee meetings if you wanted to.
But what you're
it's just right now in the rules, it's written that way. So we would need to change the rules to make it
same argument, because the argument's about the lead time. So if we moved our meeting dates to accomplish 12 days without calling it 12 days, with calling it Wednesday instead of Wednesday, mm-hmm. calling it Monday and whatever, we'd have the same argument.
That's not what I'm trying to say. In other words, right now you have meetings at Monday after the resolution deadline. Monday and Tuesday. Well, if you didn't have meetings on that Monday and Tuesday or whatever.
No.
Right, the resolution deadline is a certain number of days
before the first date of the
committee. So what I'm saying is...
Well, it's before the first day of the
regular meeting. If you're going to have the first meeting on a Wednesday, instead of saying the amount of days it would be to Monday, you would say the amount of days it would be to Wednesday. You understand what I'm saying? It's not necessarily that the resolution deadline would then follow...
So if we moved it two days, it wouldn't then be
Sunday or Monday.
I hear what you're saying, but I think it still works out academically, because if you start talking in Mondays or Wednesdays and you move session, it's still a bad amount of days.
You don't need to move session.
Well, how do we get nothing all the committee else
moved. Session because well, you have to condense your committee meetings. I would say so. I'm not saying that's what you should do, but I'm just saying that's an argument.
I'm not saying that that's what you should do either, but I'm saying it's not academic.
It just seems a lot more work.
How about full day during the day?
Oh, well, that's definitely something I think we should be talking about.
I'm opposed
as well.
To that, yeah. But I'll explain why if we want to talk about
but
that now.
I'd love it.
Yeah, that's not on the table right now.
Does it make sense?
Right now, this would be our meeting is the second Tuesday.
Say that again.
The third. Our meetings are always the third Tuesday of the month.
Right. Well,
so
right.
This would be 12 days before the third Tuesday of the month is when.
No.
No. This would be wait.
This would be 12 days before the first committee meeting of the month.
On the amendment that's before us, Dave, if I could just...
All right, so that's where you would need to, you know, the wording, that's... Now I understand what you're saying because of the wording. I didn't read that part of the wording. Because right now you got it as 5.
Correct. And it's just adding a week.
Which is way too short of a period of time. But I don't think we need to do it. In other words, I think what should be done is... It should be based not on the It should be based on when the regular meeting of the legislature takes place. In other words, the regular meeting of the legislature takes place on the third Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we need to say that in order to do this, your resolution deadline would be X amount of time before that meeting.
Before the standing committee?
The committees would have nothing to do with it. It would have to do with when the legislative meeting. We meet on the third Tuesday every month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's our regular meeting. So what you would do, we would say, is it would have to be 3 weeks before that, or X amount of time before that. That would be the deadline. The resolution deadline would be 15. I'm just throwing in one out. It's probably not a good one, but 15 days before the.
It's more than that now.
But it would be more than that now. What would it be now?
Yeah, but doesn't the magic happens in the standing committee meeting?
That's when we should have.
Right now it's 14. 20 days.
That would be what you would address. Make it 25 days before that, then or 27 days before that.
But that's where we come
right now. It's 20 days?
It's way more than that. I mean,
it's 20 days right now.
No, but I'm saying that under this rules change,
it would be 27.
It would be 27 days, right?
Yeah. But that's where I feel like
we're
having an
academic
discussion.
The way you would do it, because then you would, in other words, the committee meetings you could change around wouldn't matter, yes.
So the part that I think hasn't gotten into this discussion, should I wait?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So the part that hasn't gotten into the discussion is that there are two groups that are trying to do this work of bringing these resolutions to the floor and having the work done. And we think of things that will make life easier for us. It doesn't as legislators, it doesn't necessarily come at no cost. And part of what I think the downside is that there are schedules from these various state agencies and federal agencies that provide most of the money that runs this county. They have their own schedules, and that's part of what the executive's office has to deal with. So the request was to move things forward 5 days or 7 days, and the response was, we can do that, but it will cost us extra work. Let's do only 2 days, and then let's build in something that gives you more information so that the work that you feel like you're doing in a short period of time, too condensed, we will help with. And the reason I think that is a valid compromise is because people who are, you know, reporting to me about what they're doing are saying, this makes much more work for me. And I think that doing 2 days as a start is a good compromise, because we get some extra time, and we also get, you know, a different flow of information, and we see if it works. If it's not good enough for us, then again, I think we have to have everybody who is involved in getting resolutions to the floor and the work done. Everybody has to be satisfied with that, I believe, in order for it to be a good working relationship and a good result. I also sit on and have, since I've entered the legislature, committees that meet on Monday and Wednesday after the Friday deadline, and I just find it possible to do it and get the work done.
Rodriguez.
So I think that we have to, you know, maybe there are other members on those committees who are complaining. They haven't complained in those committees.
Okay. Thank you. So, you know, I'm going to have a chuckle over this one. About a year ago, this issue came up, and, you know, I at the time was trying to at least work on just 2 days, and you would have thought that I had asked for their houses, cars, kidneys, firstborn, and possibly their molars. It was
no
a lot of frustration.
No gallbladder.
Your gallbladder has been spoken for by Bob Aiello for about 16 years now, so we won't get into that one. But actually only 15 years. But you know, the issue for me is that you know, we know that their internal process, and Tracy, please feel free to jump in on this. You know, as I was told by the then executive, you know, their internal process already puts them I think a touch over a week even before our resolution deadline.
Just
Meaning these resolutions are, you know, they do actually exist, or at the very least, they exist in some fashion, or at the very least, the bulk of them exist in some fashion. Even then, afterwards, the resolutions are often, at this point, almost literally redrafted by our clerk because they're just not in compliance, or they're inaccurate, or there's problems. And so, you know, to a certain degree, you know, we've already got basically sort of this gap of a week or a little over a week in which these resolutions exist, and then they are finally turned over to the clerk, who then has to sort of dash to go in essence sort of make them legal, and or fix them and or correct them and or whatever at that point, and then at that point then post them on that Friday. Hence then we run into the problem of then we're then getting them on Friday, they're live on Friday, but then you've only got a very narrow window before the first committee meeting starts on Monday. And so, you know, so we already know that the work is done a week in advance of resolution deadline. So, I mean, to a certain degree, I mean, again, don't get me wrong, I was only looking for 2 days at that point to at least try to give us a bit more time to look over this stuff. But we know full well the resolutions are done in some capacity by this deadline even.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just kind of a hypothetical question, I guess, but, so I don't really understand the concept of more work. What, like, changing the deadline would mean adjusted work, but would not, by changing the timeline, would not change, we're not all of a sudden saying there's going to be more resolutions. I don't get how there's more work being put into the equation, aside from the need for a very, what I think is a talented, full-time, well-resourced office having to adjust their schedule, whereas on our end, we are 23 part-time legislators. We have part our council in itself that we would go to ask questions. It's they're part-time as well. And then also, then we have a small, very dedicated and hardworking, but again, a small staff shared amongst 23, again, part-time people versus a full-time, well-resourced office that's, you know, so I think, and again, we're not adding more resolutions, we're asking for an adjustment in how the same workload, not more work, is done.
Right, and besides that, we also had a situation where if they have a problem, we have a late resolution. They can bring, you know, they can
and we have
things in late
it's
resolutions.
Not like late resolutions are on. It's not like we're
right.
All of a sudden
we're not cutting them off.
We've been having late resolutions consistently for since I've been here.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, one thing I think that this rules change is going to do is going to be to cause a lot more late resolutions, because a lot of the resolutions that people may have issue with and people need more information on are going to involve RFPs, which are not going to be able to comply with the new rules. Most of the late resolutions that we have now have to do with RFPs and capital projects, and they can't comply already because of an early of the resolution deadline being too early. So making the resolution deadline earlier is going to further impede the RFP process, and I think that one of the reasons that you don't see a lot of problems like we have here in other areas of the state is because our threshold for approving contracts is much lower than many other counties in New York State. At $50,000, we're one of the lowest counties in New York State when it comes to the legislature approving contracts over a certain dollar amount. So we're approving a lot of contracts that come from state bids, from bids, and from RFPs. And the RFP process can be cumbersome and time-consuming, and if you got to bring people in for interviews and all this stuff, I don't think that there's a lot of policy. I don't think there's hardly any policy-related or non-RFP, non-bid contracts that come in as lates right now. I think you're going to find a lot of these RFPs are going to come in as lates.
So we'd get the majority of the resolutions earlier, so we could work on them and be involved as part-time legislators. I think it's kind of a necessity that we get our hands on these things earlier, or we really are rubber stamped. And what Legislator Ronk just pointed out is when it would become a late resolution, which would just be the same time we're getting all these resolutions anyways.
That's
so
not true.
And there's late. It's a late resolution. That's fine. That's a possibility, and if there's a reason that it's late because of the RFP process, then it becomes a late resolution. But all those other resolutions that aren't held back by that, well, we get the information earlier and we can do our job a little better.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the, I think it's a fair point in terms of the threshold, the $50,000 threshold may be lower than elsewhere in the state. I don't know, I haven't looked at it, but the RFP process confuses me, and it's kind of following on Jonathan's comment, because an RFP process doesn't follow a schedule that's relevant to a certain day of the month. So if an RFP, it just depends on when it hits and when it opens, whether or not it's going to make the time for that month. And certainly there are many cases where we have RFPs and bids that have, you know, that the executive's office, and again, traditionally have been aware of, that are in the pipeline, that they know, that they've opened, and we get it, you know, we get them, you know, at the very, very last second. We've seen that as well. So I mean, I just think this will help us to be better legislators, to be more informed, to ask more questions, to take more time. I mean, it's really going to give us only one full week prior to committee meeting starting with the information. And these packets are, some of them are huge. So if you're actually going to go and read through everything, as Jonathan's pointed out, as part-time people, as people who have jobs and families and other, you know, other commitments in their lives, it's difficult.
Well, I do think the only thing I have, my comment on this, I think the resolution deadline should be off from the meeting as opposed to when our committees begin to meet. Because, in other words, it should be off on whatever.
Are you talking about the same number of change of days, which would be 27 days?
Yeah,
right now it's 20.
If it is actually 20?
Yeah.
So I think it should be backed off from the monthly meeting as opposed to. Because what would happen if they should decide to change the one meeting from Monday and they decide to change it on a Wednesday? Now all of a sudden they just changed the resolution deadline also.
Yep.
And I think that would make more sense to do it that way.
Okay.
Do you have a comment?
Go ahead.
One of the things about the lates is we used to have between 5 and 12 every month, and we changed the criteria of that to a couple of things. I forget all of them right now, but some of these lates might not meet that criteria. You know, and we were looking at things that we had, you know, from public works to the environment, stuff that we had no oversight over, and we're just passing them. We had trouble getting the deputy executive to be here on time, or I should say on time at all, to answer the questions that we might have.
Back in the day, yeah?
Back in the day, yes. You know, I think the executive's office has changed a lot since then. They're more cooperative.
Well, we ended up forcing the issue by making the idea that if it's not necessary, we're not going to lose money, then we're not passing it. It goes to committee.
And one more comment.
It's like a pressing issue.
And this is just a quick thought. Do all the resolutions, all the committees, and everything have to have the same deadline? I mean, like Public Works is first committee. Can that have a separate deadline than, say, maybe the health or environment, which falls later in the month?
I mean, could, but it'd be complicated because it really the clerk of the legislature decides technically where resolutions go into. So
and
therefore,
do they all have to be posted the same day?
I think, Kevin, I think it's a good question, and I think the person who needs to be involved in that answer is definitely Vicki.
Of course.
Because I don't know. I mean, I would suspect that there's some benefit in knowing you're done with that bulk of work versus the work continues for a full week, but I don't want to, we should ask her, because if that's the case, you know. And
I mean, I don't think that would work for Vicki, just because I know that sometimes the executive's office will think it's going to go someplace, go to different committees, then it gets routed, because the routing of resolutions in our rules says that the clerk of the legislature, in consultation with the sponsor of the resolutions, you know, decides the routing of the resolutions. So I don't know that would work.
Well, yep. Basically, they all have their own oversight. You're not going to give a capital project to, laws and rules.
Yeah, a lot of them, but there are, would be certain ones that would make the company. I know.
I'll give you one for this month, and you know, it's one that the chairwoman's sponsoring is the Solid Waste Commission or Committee. Is going to both Public Works and to Environment, and I got multiple calls from people asking me why it was going to Public Works, and it was because Tracy wanted it to go there. And, you know, that would be one where, again, you know, if that was something that had come from the executive's office, you know, it might be going to different committees than, you know, and Environment meets later than Public Works. Mm-hmm. So...
Yep, no, that's a fair point.
So, with any change like this, you have transition costs. The system is, you know, is set up and has been working a certain way, and when you change, it compresses some things, it changes some things. So, public health is one of the first committees, and it would be a committee, I think, that would be very largely impacted by this change, because when the monies come in for programs, those come to us at a certain point in the month, and if we have the resolution deadline is sooner, then the money that is coming in, if it hits after that date that letter comes in, then that will be next month that we get those funds. It will be 1 month delay that we get those funds any time that a potential award letter goes out that comes after the date. Now, that's true of any date. But one of the reasons that I think the date has been late is that it allows us to get a lot of work into the week, into the month. And the reason it's extra work for the executive's office is they have to do the same amount of work that they're currently doing in 20 days, 27 days in 20 days. They are the ones that you are asking to lose that week. And that it's true that the work will eventually balance out, but they're now often working very late in the week before they get all these resolutions in, as it is now. So, I've seen in medicine what it does to make people work more than 12-hour days or 15-hour days in order to get work done. You get increased errors. And what Legislator Heppner described, Legislator Rodriguez described, there's errors that are found by the legislative staff on the executive's office, but there are also errors that are found from the legislative side by the executive's office. They go back and forth. And so having that happen with people that are under, you know, an extreme pressure on the deadline, it just seems like I think we're doing a good job of saying what we need. But when you're working together with someone, you also have to have the other stakeholders' perspective. Right. And we're hearing the perspective. They're saying a week is like they can't imagine it or handle it right now. So why do we have to start with that?
Thanks. I'm going to be very brief. I think that we've belabored this point a lot. A lot of the questions that I see brought up with resolution deadline where it sits right now are brought up at the first Ways and Means meeting, which is 11 days after resolution deadline, which gives a week prior to the legislative meeting to get the answers. I don't know that moving the deadline back 7 more days is going to bring a lot of questions prior to when the questions already get asked at Ways and Means, because at that point, you've already had 11 days to look at the resolutions and to email, call,
well, not really, like,
messenger.
The deadline is 11 days.
It's actually, I'm sorry, I'm working back from Friday when they're posted online, so it's actually 13 days earlier is the deadline. I shouldn't have said the deadline. I'm talking about when they're posted online, because that's when legislators have access to them. So legislators have had access to them for 11 days at that point. To me, I'm not comfortable voting for a rules change that puts it back 7 days. I'd be willing to put it back to Monday, and I think that the meeting with the committee chairs and deputy chairs is a good starting point. And then if we find out there's still problems, we can work on it from there. But
like was said before, though, that the committee, the meeting with the deputies and the chairman of the committees isn't really part of a compromise.
Well, there's nothing.
Anyway.
You know, again, I think it's a good idea, and I don't see the negative to it. To say that, well, we should be doing that anyway. Well, it's a good offer, I think, from the executive's office for that information.
I got
and the acting county executive, I think, is being very forthcoming.
But I think the point is, it doesn't address the problem. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, well, I was just gonna. Okay, I was just gonna say to the 11 days before. That's factually correct, but it's not functionally accurate. Having served on Ways and Means this last term, very often the resolutions were posted, but our packets with all the information which generated the questions, I don't think I ever got before Thursday before the following week. Sometimes I'd get it on Friday before Tuesday, and so if I had a busy weekend, I'd have 2 or 3 days, and that's the maximum. So, you know, I hear that there's concerns about a time constraint, but I just have a hard time understanding, because to me it feels, again, even when you're talking about RFPs, unless you can tell me that all the RFPs and all these state bids and all these contracts come in on a certain day of the month and we can work around that certain day, they come back depending on when they go out, which is whatever day they come back, which might be in time for deadline and it might not be in time for deadline. And I really feel like the legislature would benefit from the additional time. You know, I think back to when we were pushing, and I think, Ken, you were part of that that move, potentially, where what we used to get the contracts, remember, we used to get all the contractual changes, like there'd be 15 in one resolution with all these different
The abstracts,
and we asked to get the abstracts separated with single lines.
Yeah, you and I did that together.
You and I did that together, and do you remember what the return, what the feedback was at that time?
Yeah, they were unhappy about it, of course.
No, it was worse than that. The feedback was that it was going to take two additional people. We're going to have to hire two additional people.
I remember.
And the world was going to end. I'm not being sarcastic that the wheels of government were going to shut down, and there was no way we were going to be able to get anything done. And it was about moving sentences from this page to 10 different pages. So, with all due respect, I think we really do have to assert ourselves and ask for this time. We need the time. What we could do with that week isn't just about asking questions at committee. It's about working with each other. It's about making phone calls. It's about me finding the time to be able to get in touch with Kevin, who's working all day and maybe can't get in touch with me for 2 days, or to get in touch with you, et cetera. It's like there's a lot of back and forth that could happen. There's a lot of follow-up. Ideally, the meetings with the executive staff and the deputy executives could happen in that interim week. We could have the committee chair meetings in that interim week instead of trying to scrunch it into a Friday right before I just think it would be so much better functionally for us to have this week. I just really believe strongly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Because I want to highlight the last part, because it's the most important part of what you just said. You know, I mean, we are more prone to shortchange ourselves, whether it's staff. We are more prone to shortchange ourselves in almost every single instance. We need time to be able to review and ascertain, to be able to ask questions about these resolutions. That's our duty. And we are not able to go and accomplish our job because of what is, in essence, you know, bureaucratic, you know, issues. And, you know, trying to work through this last year, you know, in attempting just to even try to get, I think at one point, I think I was just trying to beg for a day. I think I was trying to just beg for 24 hours, right? That we would be sort of shown the resolutions on at the end of business on Monday, and then that would then kind of give you a Tuesday morning at least to actually know some of this, so that way, you know, you could begin to ask some of these questions. And, you know, there is, while I appreciate that these things create, I'm not going to say a problem, but that they create challenges for the administration, they have to recognize this equal branch, and also that our needs are also important. And if our needs are that we need an extra day or two, or in this case, Legislator Archer is asking for a week, then, you know, we have to stop shortchanging our ability to be able to do our duty and review these resolutions, ensure that we actually know what policies that we're putting in place here or what, what contracts that we're signing off on, and that we're actually doing what we are paid to do.
I've belabored enough. I'm just going to let it go.
One last question. Madam Chair, are you open for 2 or 7 days?
Say that again.
What timeline are you in favor of, 2 or 7?
I prefer what Lynn is asking for.
Which would equate 7 days. 7 days.
Would you be willing to negotiate with the executive's office and maybe phase this in over a period of a couple of months?
I can talk to Legislator Archer because it's her resolution, and talk to them.
Let us know on Monday what they say.
Yeah, it's going to take a couple months.
I would like the idea that it comes back off the, you know, the.
I think that's
meetings.
A good point. It's the one solid date.
All right, so before I go on with this, this is a working meeting of the Laws and Rules Committee, and I'm trying to get the Laws and Rules member to come on, and I don't mind you speaking, but
factual or data points, I think. I believe that the return date that is set for RFPs is often set to in reference to the legislative schedule. We can check that, but I think it is. So it can change, but what it can do then is that it's too compressed, it's not a fair bidding process, and so then you have to go to the next one. Also, in terms of the packets being not prepared, I think that may be part of the problem. Because if we had the packets on Friday, then it would be the full 11 days. So if we just did the 2 days on this and asked the legislative clerks to have the full packets ready by Friday, then we have almost 2 weeks before we have the session.
You're saying you got to work out of them, right? Make them stay at late.
Well, yeah. I think this is why you have all the stakeholders, because when you change something, it affects the whole system. And right now we have the legislative point of view being expressed.
All right, any yes?
The packets are one thing, but all the resolutions are posted online. I mean, every Friday I go to the website and look through the resolutions. I mean, I don't need the packet. Each one says where it's going, and, you know, as a legislator, I look through the resolutions over the weekend anyway. But
I got to get clarification. Right now, the resolution deadline is that on a Wednesday.
Is on a Wednesday. All the resolutions are posted online by the clerk by Friday.
Without
by
backup. Friday.
Without having specific committee packets. Now, some committee packets are ready on Friday, especially the ones for Monday and Tuesday.
What we're calling for is to have it the Wednesday before.
The prior Wednesday.
So the packets
now,
would be ready.
What about a compromise might be on that Friday before? And that way, in other words, as long as that Friday before,
it would create
the idea that they'd have to have it in by that Friday. That means the legislative staff on Monday morning can get right on it from the get. They don't have to wait.
Vicki needs a couple of days to get these resolutions together, and Jay to get them on the
effectively be.
But I mean, that gives them that Monday morning to start right
now. I understand.
Still the Monday compromise, because
not really, because the Monday compromise would mean
Monday 5 o'clock.
You get it by 5 o'clock.
No, it's
really
by noon.
It's by noon.
It's noon.
But I would be comfortable. I would be comfortable with Friday.
Friday
would not hurt my feelings. I could support Friday.
Does this hurt your feelings?
Friday 9 a.m.
But again,
9:05.
Friday at noon, I think would be reasonable, Dave. I think Friday at noon would be reasonable, like you say, because then you've got a couple of days to work on it.
You know, one day you would have a full day to have it all out.
But to Chairwoman Bartels's point a few minutes ago about when the resolutions, what was it? No, it's gone now. The hurt my feelings joke. No, it's gone.
Good move.
Again, I could support. Changing it to Friday, but I just, I think moving it back 7 days is just too long.
If it's possible,
I'll talk to Lynn. I mean, I feel like Lynn feels very strongly about the week. I see the real benefit of having the full week with it. But
yeah, I know that, but what you're doing is you're still getting almost that week.
No, because if you get it by Friday, no, you're going to get it
she'll
on Tuesday.
She'll have them out by Monday, but
she'll
be there.
She will not have them out by Monday.
Right now you're getting them Friday. By Monday, 5 o'clock, they'll be out probably.
No, right now we get them on Wednesday. They don't come out till Friday. So so if you got them on Friday, we'd get them on Tuesday or Wednesday, which is essentially the
Monday
compromise.
I mean, she
would
needs
not get them by Monday.
She needs at least 48 hours. She needs four. I mean, she needs 2 days.
You get them by Tuesday morning.
At a minimum.
Yeah. I'm just you're right. No, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, okay. All right. I was going to say, it's like no, I absolutely know how many days she needs.
I mean, here's what I'll say, Dave. I definitely don't want to make Vicky's life worse by changing resolution deadline. I mean, she's got it down to a pretty good science right now on how it works now. But I also, you know, as much as I don't want to cause more work for our staff, I don't want to cause undue burden on the executive staff either, and there's got to be a happy medium, and I've always believed in a happy medium. When Legislator Rodriguez and I were talking about 2 days years ago, I was in support of the 2 days changing it to Monday. I'm still in support of changing it to Monday.
Yeah, but you had to give up your firstborn.
You were rather
but
quiet.
Not my kidney.
You were rather quiet last year.
I don't believe that I was.
Already on anybody else on this resolution? Well, I've got a conversation with the sponsor, and I'll talk about the Friday thing, and we'll figure something out. But I would like to try to vote on this on the next meeting.
13th, right?
No, not the 13th. It would be on the meeting of the legislature.
Yes.
No, it would be on the 13th.
The
18th.
Oh, 18. Right. 13th is the next workshop. All right. So I wanted, that's what I'm having this meeting for, is to try to get some of these things so we can get into the regular meeting, go right through them.
All right.
All righty. We have also on the agenda Resolution 281, establishing a policy.
You have another one in this packet that just doesn't have a number.
Is that C-29?
No, it's just XX.
Double X.
Oh, the XX one, yes.
That's
20.
Yours.
That's,
right.
Well, it's Archer Eckert.
Yeah, the XX one. This is basically changing the clerk of the legislature's duties.
I'm asking.
Rather than the clerk of the legislature appointing deputy clerks and employees, it would be done by the chairperson. In consultation with the clerk.
Double X.
Okay, double X. It's for discussion.
They always do that whenever it's
blank.
The absolute only reason to do this is to bring politics back into the legislative clerk's office. I wholeheartedly disagree with it. If somebody can explain to me why it's not working properly right now, I'd be all ears. But, when I sponsored this change years ago, I sponsored the change to take the politics out of it. When you look in the eyes of one of the staff members who's crying right around October because she doesn't know who's going to take control of the legislature and if she's going to have a job or he or she's going to have a job, you know, come January because of changes in the political winds, I think that that's when you start to think that maybe this change isn't a good idea.
You know, I think I agree that Vicky's a great clerk, and I agree that she probably does a good job with her limited appointments. But I will say this, that we've all kind of struggled post-charter. I'm new to the struggle with the overwhelming difference in power. The entire legislative body equals nothing compared to the power of the executive branch. I think most people would agree. I don't think it's a healthy distribution of power. And if we're ever to empower the legislature, part of that is going to have to be empowering the chairman or the chairwoman. And appointments are power. On the other side of that wall, you have a lot of them. And I think that it's just proper. You know, we are elected officials. There are politics involved with being an elected official. Sometimes it's healthy. I think we had a discussion earlier where I thought it was an unhealthy example of politics surrounding, you know, elected and appointed officials when we're with regards to the Board of Elections. But I think it's important that we empower our chair, and I think this is part of that empowerment. And it's not easy when, because we're talking about taking an appointment away from someone that we all respect. We respect her as a person. We respect the job she's done for years. But I'm in support of this, and that's one of the big reasons. I'm sure we'll hear the other side.
Thanks. You know, I respect that point of view, empowering the chair. You know, when this was originally crafted the way it sits now, a couple years ago, you know, there were appointments that were left with the chair. The attorneys are appointed by the chair, and the confidential secretary is appointed by the chair. But the concern among those of us who crafted this change is that the legislative staff works for all 23 legislators, not just the chair. And each legislator has to be able to work with the staff members that are appointed. The only person that is responsible to the chair of the legislature, I'm sorry, the only person that's responsible to the whole legislature as a whole is the clerk of the legislature. And I don't want to talk about it as Vicky, and I don't want to talk about it as the staff that's there right now. Let's talk about them in the offices that they are, because we can't always assume that there's going to be somebody who's Vicky or somebody who's Mary or Jay or any of the staff members. So let's just talk about it as the clerk of the legislature and the staff. Now, the clerk of the legislature is appointed by and responsible to the legislature as a whole through an election once every 2 years. So then that clerk of the legislature goes out and hires the staff that are then, through her or him, responsible to the whole legislature. So you're going to take that responsibility to the whole legislature away, all 23 of us, and give it to one of 23 of us who's elected on a yearly basis.
By the 23 that right. Also appoint the clerk.
By a majority of the 23 who are... You know, again, you know,
same vote. Same way the clerks are.
Yeah, it's the same exact vote for the clerk.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
It's not, though. Right. It's not, though, for a number of reasons. The person who handles... The person who handles the day-to-day operations of the staff is the clerk of the legislature. You know, the chair is a part-time position. You know, I've never seen a chairman here more than a couple of days a week. And the rest of the time, the clerk of the legislature is responsible for managing them and setting up. I mean, since this has happened, Vicky has been able to set up, you know, detailed job descriptions, reviews, things that the clerk can't do if they're not responsible to her. You know, what's happened is, you know, what has been in the past from time to time, not under my service, not under Chairwoman Bartel's service, and not under Chairman Parity's service, but prior to that, years ago, what had been, at times, a political staff has become a professional staff, which, to Legislator Joe Maloney's point, is important to be able to battle against or to stand up against the county executive's professional staff. And what we have here is the potential moving down the road of moving back to a political staff. Right now, there's a policy in the clerk's office that no employees have any political involvement.
That's a new one.
Well, this would codify that policy. This is written in here that no clerk or employee would be compelled or required to engage in partisan politics at any time during their tenure in the office.
Compelled or required? I'm sorry. You continue, but...
Allowed.
That's what it is right now. I said right now, Vicky's policy is, the clerk's policy is, that no one is allowed to engage in partisan politics. What you're saying is nobody could be compelled to.
We couldn't run.
But a chair could come in, can everybody, and bring in five new people who are all going to do political stuff for him or her.
Yeah.
We
couldn't legislate that. We couldn't legislate that no one's allowed because of free speech issues. And
no, but through an internal policy right now, under the current state
yeah,
of the office, we're allowed.
You're getting off. We're codifying. It's codified that you couldn't be compelled or required to. And it's also, this puts in consultation. I mean, I don't really see, you're making a distinction between the clerk and the chair, and they're both elected by a majority of the body. You know, I think that the change that you moved, that's what we're operating under right now, while it hasn't, again, because we're not talking about the existing people in the office, it hasn't made it partisan. I think it runs the risk of making that office a partisan office. But, again, we haven't seen that, but I just don't really see the distinction. And I think that this is the preferred method, and more to what Legislator Maloney is saying, I think that this is a position where we're codifying that things are according to skills and experience and abilities. You're on the one hand, you're saying you don't want to talk about Vicky, but on the other hand, you are specifically talking about a policy that Vicky has.
Someone, Rodriguez, did you have any map there?
I don't know. I think that the chair of the legislature is inherently more partisan than the clerk's office. Clerks in all of the levels of government are seen as and tend to be elected for their nonpartisan character, and that's not true of a chair. And I see the clerk of the legislature as being on the legislative team. So if we empowering the clerk, we're empowering the legislature. So I think that when I initially, you know, overheard as a citizen the discussion of changing this, I was concerned. But I think that it adds stability in an office where you want people to be performing based on their skills and not on who their alliances are. And I think in the past it has been used to put people in for their alliances. So I think it's benefited from.
Couldn't have said it better than Legislator Nolan. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, we're not voting on this anyway this evening. And I don't even know, was this actually submitted yet?
It's going to be for an April introduction, I believe.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll have some conversations between us, I guess, some discussions or whatever, and you know, anything you want to take a look at, please do. And I think there does need to be certain changes. I'm not necessarily tied to this, but I am tied to making some changes to empower the chair more. We'll work on it. All right, we do have a discussion. I don't think we really need to discuss this all that much as the acting county executive changes in order to do this. I think we just need legislative council to maybe, you know, work on what the wording needs to be to back it off, and I think we need to back it off, at least back off. I'm not sure about that. The discussion would probably be the amount of time where you would have to have a special election rather than allowing someone to continue on for a long time. Yeah.
If we're gonna put that to the voters, can I ask that we also look at vacancies in the legislature, because that section has similar issues.
Right. So we have the one. They're both basically, a lot of it has to do with timing.
Yeah, they both, in the legislature, it's 30 days, the legislature gets to appoint the vacancy within 30 days, and then if that doesn't happen, it's within 90 days a special election has to happen. So I just think both of them should be, if you're going to look at one, we should look at both.
Yeah, I think they should be uniform.
Dave, I'd like to make one point on that. I think with the timetable being moved up, primary in June, that almost takes away from us have any special election at any point and just follow regular mm-hmm. New York State election law.
You mean the next general election?
Yeah, the following general election. I totally agree with that.
I would be open to that discussion.
So in other words, like if somebody leaves after the first year, you would have an appointee there for three?
No, the next general election. There would be a special election
at the next general election.
Although the one thing to keep in mind is that as you're backing out the date of what the longest amount of time that someone would have to serve, it would be, I think it would be from the last date of declination for a party or nomination for a party. Yeah. So it might be like 15 months or 18, 17 months.
State election law.
But I feel like that's the easiest too.
15 months as well, I think that's the way to do it. Just strip it from the charter.
That's what I've been
doing. Does anybody want to work on the wording on that?
Well, it'd just be removing it from the charter and replacing it with New York State election law. That would
It would still have to say in the charter that at the next general election.
Yeah, but we'd just be cut and pasting from New York State election law and putting that into the charter. Yeah.
No. Because we have our own. In other words, it would have to be.
Well, we do that quite a bit. Sure.
I'm sure one of our esteemed councils would be able to come up with language.
Okay.
Could you work on that?
But then he Nick? Said he could cover. He didn't realize.
He'd certainly suggest some language.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Before I want to jump to the resolution 329 for Legislator Rodriguez. We have not gotten anything from the executive's office.
No, we have not. Although, obviously there was a changeover in administration. actually today I believe staff actually reached out again to the administration to go and say, you know, does this office actually have any changes or amendments or anything, any concerns? Because remember, it will become the administration's responsibility to carry this out, and clearly I don't want to go and basically put something forward that then they can't accomplish. So, you know, we're still waiting for comment. Honestly, we've actually been waiting for comment for a while, and I'm getting a little frustrated. But
postponed.
At this time, I think it's probably just best to postpone it, and we'll give them. I mean, admittedly, it's a new administration now. We have to give them a little bit of time, but you know, we are hopeful for a response.
And since you're here, Legislator Ronk, dealing with the Ulster County Ethics Law.
Yeah, I mean, I've been ready to move forward with that, but I know that Chairwoman Bartels had asked for some more time to take a deeper look at it. So,
can I just say, I mean, if you have to move forward this today, Okay, because I thought that today we were just doing rules, so I didn't do the markup, but I'll have
That's
it
fine.
For next week. I'll get it to you before next week.
All right, no, because we can't actually vote on anything.
Yeah. When I saw it today, I was like, oh, no.
No, it's all
so
good.
I would like to get that moved myself. I mean, I think that's something we need to get moved.
This is Orange County.
Predominantly, yes. Yeah.
I was hoping to get, I guess I could put them side by side. I was just hoping to get a look at, can we redline our changes? Is there any way we could do that, of what we change from the Ulster County? A lot of it
from
is
the Orange,
Orange
County.
County.
Yeah. You're saying what we changed from what Orange County has, or what we changed from what Ulster County has?
What we're changing from the Orange County.
Okay.
What we're changing.
You mean, like a red line? Is that what you're looking for?
I'm pretty familiar with Ulster County.
Assistant accountant. that's
changed in there?
That's fine. I think one of the things that was changed in there was assistance of legislative counsel and the county attorney, because I feel like that is...
We are adding that.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think at the last Laws and Rules, we asked for a one-pager that would summarize the differences.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten it yet, but we haven't had Laws and Rules
before you guys vote on it and we fully debate in a standing committee over it. I'd just like to know what the differences are between the Orange County law.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that for the meeting, anything you can draw up, even if you can draw it up before next week, so we could even revisit it in the meeting that we have next week.
Okay.
That way on the regular meeting we can try to get some of these things.
Yeah, I mean the major points of it are the appointment authority, which under this, just to give a brief summary for the committee, you know, right now the appointments are all made by the county executive, subject to confirmation by the legislature. you know, in order to satisfy the concerns of the administration, the county attorney that were brought when we had the last ethics law change, all of the appointments are still made by the county executive, as, you know, is required by the state law. But the half of them, well, half of the, there's six main appointments, three by the county executive, and under ours, one by the chair, one by the majority leader, and one by the minority leader. In Orange County, I believe it's two by the chair and one by the minority leader.
Yeah.
But I thought it was important to involve all the leaders. And then those three are recommended to the county executive, and then he has to appoint them. And then those six get in a room and pick a seventh. It almost works like our redistricting commission.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell the committee that as of right now, the six in Orange County couldn't decide in a seventh, so they're operating with a six-member board. But, you know, I have a feeling that our appointments will be a little bit more conciliatory than that.
That's what happened.
What are the executive's options when he gets the three recommendations?
He's got to appoint them. Doesn't
and
have
if,
a choice.
And if,
the word that's used, if I may, is nominee, so...
So it's a go-around from the state law so that we get some choice, is basically...
It's a way to make it legal under the state law, but still allow the legislature to have a say in it.
Yeah, because we still have to vote on them after after
right,
the
all,
last step
right,
on top of
that. Right,
so,
they're all
yeah.
confirmed by the legislature.
Yep.
Correct. So.
All right, then so we'll work on that and hopefully discuss that again.
I'll come up with some sort of a one-pager of, you know,
thank you.
What's different.
prohibiting the use of public funds to place on the likeness or name of elected officials on all promotional informational signage on county-owned property. Yes.
Are we voting on anything, by the way, tonight or no?
No.
No.
Right, not at all? Okay, good.
We've talked about this a lot. I would like to remind Legislator Ronk that you did say, I think the last time this came up, that you would be far more willing to put something like this through at the beginning of a new executive term. So perhaps this is the time.
Perhaps.
You got that in writing?
it's
in the minutes.
I would have less of a problem with that, I think, is my exact words.
I'm
but
sure we could
Let's go to the tape.
Find
now, where do we... where do you have a problem with it as is, the way it's written?
I mean, as is, you know, again, you know, one of the things, you know, one of the most interesting... gatherings I've been to is the Pattern for Progress across the aisle, county executives and chairman of the legislature in Sullivan County, because they don't have an executive, that Pattern for Progress puts on every year. They didn't do it this year because Mike was leaving and, you know, down one executive, I think, that they chose to do something different. But, you know, the last question that each one of them got asked was... you know, what's one issue that comes across your desk that, you know, you say, oh, geez, that's too hot, I'm not going to touch that one. And all across the board, you know, County Executive Molinaro, buck stops here. Newhouse, buck stops here. Hine, buck stops here. You know, Lou Alvarez, the chair of the legislature in Sullivan County, is a nice guy. He says, well, I just sent it to another committee. You know, I then turned to the person sitting next to me. I said, that's why we have a county executive now. But I think that the buck stops here, that sort of a sentiment, I think, is why it might be important to have the chief elected on, you know, signage and promotional materials, because it shows you not just who's responsible when something good happens, but who's to blame when something bad happens. You have the single point of contact. That's the goal of a county executive is you've got a single point of contact. You've got a single point of responsibility when something goes wrong. When you have the jail, when you have a 39% tax increase, that's the single point of contact, the single point of responsibility.
So,
you're advertising it to the
landfill brought to you by Mike Hine. You know, you just don't see.
Well, he's not there anymore.
You don't see negative projects with the name. You know,
we don't have a landfill. That's another story.
I think it was a hypothetical.
Let's just let that go.
I think what a lot of people would like to get to the point of is real initiatives, real progress. You know, is hard to deny, and when somebody's successful at doing something, you know who they are.
the amount of things that we're putting, you know, the veterans van, I mean, there are so many things that we're spending hard-earned tax dollars on that we're putting elected officials' names on, and I think a lot of them are nothing short of almost offensive. When you point at something and millions of dollars, hard-earned tax dollars, go to a project, it's just, I think we get pretty counterproductive when you follow the money and what goes into these names going on. You end up finding that there are teams of people that are getting to ribbon cuttings days before, you know, four and five county officials that are there putting a big, beautiful thing. I mean, the time that goes into that county address, the money that goes into that county address, I just think at the end of the day, a lot of town boards, a lot of counties are starting to do things like this, and I think it's really healthy. I think you end up saving money, and I think you end up deterring time and energy going into promoting the top elected officials, and it's more about promoting and what you can, you know, perception is reality, so what you can get people to perceive is more important than what's really going on. And I have yet to talk to a constituent that doesn't think this is a good idea. I've had too many veterans bring up things like the veterans van. We're now dealing with a lot of things that the executive's name has to come off on. I think there's not a lot of risk in doing something like this. We saw what happened. We can come into committee. If we find something that we think violates, we can have the conversation. Don't do it again. I think if there was something that somebody thought was beneficial to put an elected official's name on, I think we could probably make an amendment to it at that point, but I think the pros far outweigh the cons, and
I think what we need to do is, in this case, because I'd like to get this thing moving soon, I think if there is exceptions that you really feel that there should be, I mean, that you know, sometimes there may be an exception that makes sense, and we could create that exception. But I mean, in fact, we had the Board of Elections here tonight, and we, because Legislator Maloney pushed an issue, they ended up taking the likeness off their website, and now we're shifting that over.
And we found, and we actually heard that the commissioners
of
the Board of Elections were upset about this, and actually requested. You have the two commissioners from the Board of Elections requesting that this doesn't happen. And we never heard about that, and it stayed up there.
And the point is that, yes, I mean, so, you know, I agree. I did a pet peeve of mine a long time, actually. I really don't think elected officials should be blasting name all over properties that are owned by the taxpayer. It's brought to you by the taxpayers of Ulster County, or you can put it that way, or it's brought to you by the people of Ulster County. Not brought to you by any one particular individual because they were elected to that position. You know, if you take a look at states, they're doing this, and all of a sudden, another guy gets elected, and all those signs got to be changed. I don't know. I mean, the way we have it right now, it sticks any of the signs that are presently there will stay there until you have to change them. So this is the time I think it's ripe to do this. So I'm hoping that we can move this forward in at our regular session. And if anybody has any type of concerns that we can address, please bring them forward and we will address them. But I think the overall intent, and I think the overall resolution makes sense. And I think that was about all we were going to talk about, other than everybody has a copy of the rules, I think, somewhere. If you do have a copy of them.
The rules, actually, just so everyone's aware, on all of the iPads that everyone has, the rules are the rules and the charter are a separate icon on the iPads that we have as well.
So since we are taking these up, and the next meeting we have next week, we do have a meeting with the We have a meeting with the the hospitality industry and member of them.
There you go. I know.
You see, next week we have four people from the hospitality industry will be here. And we'll be discussing the Airbnb tax, the proposal that was put up, entering into a voluntary agreement with Airbnb, so we'll have that discussion next Wednesday. Is that meeting at 6:30?
6 o'clock.
Oh, it's an early one.
Are you voting that day?
We will be, we technically can't vote on a
Special.
I mean, we could.
Well, you could, but
we
there's
could,
but
we're
not doing it. But we're not.
Technically,
we didn't
postpone
yeah.
it to that
you
meeting
vote,
anyway. In February.
What's that?
Did we postponed it to March at the February
yeah, we
meeting.
Yeah, vote the intent.
But was it to, in fact,
to the next
18th?
Meeting,
yeah. I was going to say, because that's one of the problems. When you just do it to the next meeting, it's just like, is this technically the next meeting, right?
Technically, it's a special meeting.
Technically, you could have called it a workshop meeting, and then you would have also gotten around that.
I'm not the chairman.
Well, we'll put it as a special meeting. That's fine. I know. It could be a headache, too.
We have aspirin actually right around the corner if she needs some. Also, she's a doctor.
So
she needs
anyway,
something good. I don't know.
That will be done next week. And then, of course, we have any of these rules that we discussed this evening, particularly the one with the county clerk and the changes there. That's something that we do need to have, not the county clerk, I mean the clerk of the legislature. I didn't mean to confuse you further.
And you want a motion to adjourn, Dave?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, at a certain point. At a certain
I'll
point.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
You got it.
Second. Fifth.
12. Yeah, that was... 14.